it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, last week, if you will recall, for those of you who were here and for those of you who weren't, I'll just let you know, we were talking about the fact that when Jesus came and when he preached, he pointed out to us that he was not here to take the law away. And that as Christians, there are things that we're expected to do. There's a way we're expected to live our lives. And Jesus had laid this out in his Sermon on the Mount, which is what we're going to be going through now. We had gone through the Beatitudes a while ago, and if anyone's interested, I have recordings of those, and I can get those to you. But we're moving on in that, and it might get difficult. Mark Twain is remarked to have once said that it isn't the things in the Bible that I don't understand that concern me, it's the things that I do understand. I'll be reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the word of our Lord. You see, this is hard. For most of us, I think, fortunately, we can stand up and say, you know, looking at the Ten Commandments, well, I've never killed anybody. Most of us can say that. Not all of us. Well, hopefully everybody in this room, but I know people. Having worked in the prison, I work with men who have killed. But when it comes to this point where Jesus says, "I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." We've all been angry with somebody. We've all been angry with somebody for something very petty, I'm sure. And hopefully we're sorry about that, and hopefully we have made amends. But the fact is that we get angry, even the most peaceful of us. I'll admit that there have been times when I'm driving down the street and there's this one particular intersection where, you know, I drive through this intersection at least twice a day going in different directions, and at least once a week, somebody cuts me off in the intersection and I'm not always ready for it. And in the privacy of my car, I have used some words that I'm not going to repeat here. We've all been in those situations, I think. Jesus said, anyone who calls his brother Raca is answerable to the Sanhedrin. No, I don't think I've ever actually called anybody Raca. But the reason they use that word in Scripture is we don't actually know what the word means. But it's very similar to a word. It might mean empty-headed. It might mean stupid. I've called people stupid, unjustly. Anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Well, I've called people worse than that. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Let me jump back a second. One of the things I think it's really important for us to understand, and I know many of us grew up in the culture where we can say this, words mean things. What we say is important. And words mean things. There are words that the kids are using today, again, words I can't say in the pulpit, that have completely lost their meaning because they're used so much. Somebody had made an example to me once that if you say the word t-shirt enough times, It won't mean anything anymore. And there are kids out there today who are using certain words so much that they don't remember what they mean, or they don't know what they mean, or they mean something other than what they think. As a father raising a little girl, it's important to me that she doesn't cuss. And you know what? I've never heard my daughter swear, and I'm glad, because I don't know how I'd handle that. Admittedly, there have been a couple occasions where, well, we explained to her right off, here's what's going to happen if you use bad language. And there have been times that she's sassed a little bit, and, well, we didn't really wash her mouth out with soap, but we made her hold a little bit of Listerine on her tongue for a few seconds. That's bad enough, and that did the trick. I don't think I'd actually put soap in her mouth, but there have been times where she says, well, there's this word I heard, and I think it's a bad word, but I want to know. Okay, what was the word? I don't want to say it, because it might be a bad word, and I'll be in trouble. Isn't that sweet? It's like, well, then just don't say the word. But I really want to know if it's a bad word. Well, you'll have to tell me what it is. I don't want to get in trouble. Well, eventually I managed to convince her that she wasn't going to get in trouble for asking the question. And she didn't. Yes. But she knows not to use that word. It was also important to explain to her why it was a bad word. Because again, kids are using these words. People are using these words. And I don't know if they don't know what they mean or they don't think about what they're saying. I had somebody once, a couple of years ago, I was having a discussion with him. It didn't even get heated. It was just like a regular discussion. He was saying something that wasn't right, and I was gently trying to correct him. But he was not budging on his business. And he said to me, go to hell. I said, really? He said, what do you mean, really? I said, is that what you really want of me? Is it really your desire that I suffer eternal torment over this little thing? He said, well, no. Why did you say it? Words mean things. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We can use the same mouth to curse or to bless. Do you ever hear that statement? You'll say something and somebody will say, or somebody says something and somebody else says, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? We can curse and we can bless. What are we doing with our words? Let me read again from verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. I say we've been having our Sunday services here for, we're going on 4 years now. Before I was doing the Sunday services here, I was doing a once a month service it was a Tuesday night, I think. It was like the last Tuesday of the month or the fourth Tuesday of the month, however it fell. And I remember the first time I was getting ready to do this, I was at home on Monday preparing my message. And I was reminded as I was preparing the message of a grievance I had with somebody. Actually, one of the bosses where I work at my day job. I was angry with her over something that I, to be honest with you, wasn't even sure was true. And it just weighed on my heart that I had no business standing in front of people and preaching the gospel with that much anger inside of me, with that much rage. So I actually tracked this manager down and apologized to her for being so angry with her, for the way I was feeling about her. And she was completely bamboozled because she had no idea how I felt, but I still had to reconcile with her. And I probably, had I not done that, I might not have been able to bring a message that night or ever again, because I had no business doing so. It's important to us that we reconcile with people that we're able to reconcile with. Admittedly, there are people that we can't. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes it's not possible. There was a young man I was counseling in the prison once who, he was greatly distressed because his grandmother had just passed away. And he never had the opportunity to tell her that he was sorry for disappointing her so greatly. He never had that chance. And that really weighed on him. And I can understand that, but we're not always able to reconcile. We don't always have that chance. And it's important for us to take that opportunity when we have it. Continuing, it says, settle matters quickly. with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do so while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, it used to be if somebody owed you money, you could have them thrown into prison until they paid you back. Now, it never made sense to me, because how are you going to pay somebody if you're in prison? You obviously can't work. Where are you going to get the money? I mean, if you're taking somebody hostage and holding them for ransom, their family has to pay you to get this person out. Is that how it works? That never made sense to me. I think that's how it worked. But think about us. For the wrongs we commit against people, you know what? You can't always make up for it. You can't always fix something that you broke. You can't always replace it. Sometimes we can, and thank God for those opportunities. But there are times we will break something, maybe a bond with another person that we just can't fix. A good friend of mine had his son, a good friend of mine's son was killed by a drunk driver a few years ago. And the young man that was driving the car, the young man that killed his son, was remorseful and he was sorry, but you can't fix that. You can't fix that. It was a tragic accident. You can't fix it. Sometimes we come across those kind of situations again as a father. Every once in a while, there's some toy that breaks or something gets lost and you'll never find it again and you can't fix it. There are things that you just can't glue together. But we do our best. We do what we can, again, to reconcile. Anger and hate are as good as murder. If you think about the people you have been angry with in your life, would you go so far? Hopefully, none of us would go so far as to actually kill somebody that we hated. And yet at that moment of anger, maybe. You know, we have a decision to make. We have a decision to make in that moment of anger. And sometimes it's that moment of anger and that decision that we make. That decision we make can be wrong. I know in the prison ministry, the first prisoner that ever actually told me what he was doing time for, somebody had stolen his television set. Somebody broke into his apartment and took his TV. And he found out who did it. It was somebody in his neighborhood. It was somebody that he knew. So he went around to that guy's house and took his TV back after killing him. There's that moment a decision is made. And can we be so angry over nothing? A TV set, for goodness sake. A pair of shoes. A parking space. Believe it or not, these are things that people have died for. As ridiculous as that seems, we start with anger. We start with hate. And how far do we let it go? God wants us to set those things aside. When you feel that happening, you need to decide to stop. It's not right to carry on with that anger, because how far will it go? It's best to go to that person, to find them if you can, and try to reconcile. At least at that point, you've done what you could do. You've taken care of it as best you can. The rest is really up to them. To forgive you if you need to be forgiven, and if they don't, then you've done what you can. When I went to that manager, as confused as she was, she forgave me for my anger. And I'm glad she did. For some people, that might seem small. That might not seem like a big deal. But in God's eyes, it is. He can forgive us, certainly, but we can still carry those things as secrets. If you sin against someone, it's important that we reconcile with them when we can. I don't think that the next guy that cuts me off at that intersection, I'm not going to chase him down and drag him out of his car and say, "I forgive you!" Maybe I should. You think that'd scare him a little bit? He'd probably shoot me, yeah. But as best as we're able, it's important that we make peace. It's important that we bless rather than curse. It is important that we reconcile as best we can. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good word for us is, as depressing as the notion that hating somebody is as good as killing them, is that forgiveness is available for us. We needn't forget that. As angry as we've ever been, as hateful as we've ever been, forgiveness is available. And if you're not able to go to that individual and seek forgiveness for them, you can go before God. And you will be forgiven. That's why he sent his son. For every sin that was ever committed, every sin that would ever be committed, there is forgiveness available. We need to ask, and it's freely given. And that's wonderful news. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.